وقال الذين كفروا لا تسمعوا لهذا القرآن والغوا فيه لعلكم تغلبون.
The deniers of the truth say, do not give ear to the Quran and cause interruption when it is recited. Thus, perhaps you will gain the upper hand. The deniers of the truth say, do not give ear to the Quran and cause interruption when it is recited. Thus, perhaps you will gain the upper hand. This was one of the methods to which the Meccan unbelievers resorted in order to frustrate the Prophet's mission. They were cognizant of the immense appeal that the Quran and its bearer had on people who came into contact with them. Taken together, both exercised enormous influence on everyone. A great many realized that this unique message, delivered by such a distinguished person, was bound in the course of time to win over people's hearts and minds. Therefore, they planned that nobody will be allowed to listen to the Quran. To ensure this, they made horrendous noises as the Prophet, peace be upon him, recited the Quran to someone. Such opponents also shouted, jeered, clapped, raised a volley of objections, and took noise to such a pitch that the Prophet's recitation was lost in the din. They believed that they would thus be successful in defeating the Prophet's call.
فَلَنُذِيقَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَسْوَأَ الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ
We shall certainly make these unbelievers taste a terrible chastisement and shall fully requite them according to the worst deeds that they committed.
ذلك جزاء أعداء الله النار لهم فيها دار الخلد جزاء بما كانوا بآياتنا يجحدون.
That is the recompense of the enemies of Allah. The fire, their abiding home. That will be the recompense for their denying our signs.
وقال الذين كفروا ربنا أرنا الذين أضلانا من الجن والإنس نجعلهما تحت أقدامنا لِيَكُونَا مِنَ الْأَسْفَلِينَ
There the unbelievers will say, Our Lord, show us those that led us astray, both jinn and humans, and we will trample them under our feet so that they are utterly degraded. There the unbelievers will say, Our Lord, show us those that led us astray, both jinn and humans, and we will trample them under our feet so that they are utterly degraded.
Misguided people are no doubt under the spell of their chiefs, their religious clergy, and devilish folk, all of whom are out to mislead others. However, when the truth dawns upon them on the day of judgment, they will curse these leaders for misguiding them. Indeed, they would simply want to trample on them.
إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوْعَدُونَ
Those who say, Allah is our Lord, and then remain steadfast, upon them descend angels and say, Do not fear nor grieve, and receive good tidings of paradise, which you were promised. Those who say, After having warned the unbelievers against the consequences of their adamance and rejection of the truth, the address is now directed to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his companions. Allah is our Lord, and then remain steadfast.
True believers, once they have embraced faith in God, remain fully devoted and committed to him. They do not commit the mistake of taking any others as lords besides God. After they have embraced true faith, they remain constant throughout their lives. after they have decided to take God for their Lord, they never entertain any erroneous doctrine, nor do they taint their religious faith with falsehood. Instead, they fulfill its requirements and implications. The Prophet, peace be upon him, and his companions defined the steadfastness in faith mentioned in this verse as follows. Anas ibn Malik narrated that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Many took God as their Lord. However, most of them turned later into unbelievers. A steadfast believer is he who adheres to monotheism until his last breath." According to Abu Bakr, faith consists in not taking anyone as partner with God and in not turning to anyone, considering him to be the Lord. Tabari, Tafsir, comments on Surah Hamim Al-Sajda 41:30. Once while reciting this verse from the pulpit, Umar observed, "By Allah, the steadfast are those who firmly adhere to obeying God. They do not run from one direction to the other in the manner of foxes." Uthman defined the faithful as those who work exclusively for God. According to Ali, the verse speaks of those who sincerely discharge the obligations prescribed by God. Upon them descend angels and say, "The descent of angels does not take any palpable form." In other words, the believers do not necessarily see or hear the angels. God may, however, direct the angels to appear publicly whenever He so pleases. Generally speaking, an angel visits true believers in an imperceptible form. When the latter are persecuted by the enemies of the truth, they bless believers with peace and tranquility. Some Quranic scholars believe that angels visit human beings only in his graves, on their deathbed, or in the hereafter. In the context of the verse under study, however, the sending down of angels is mentioned in order to comfort and console believers, to boost their morale and to reinforce their faith in God's help and support. What the angels communicate to them in this regard goes down to the depths of their hearts rather than simply strike a chord in their ears. At the time of their death, true believers are warmly welcomed by the angels. The angels also greet them in their graves. They will also accompany them in the grand assembly until the time they enter paradise. The angels' company of the true believers, however, is not confined to the hereafter. They also accompany them constantly in this life. It also becomes clear from the context of the verse that just as devils and evil ones collude with wicked people, in the same way the angels stand by the side of those true in faith. On the one hand, the collaborators of the wicked further embellish their evil deeds, encouraging them to continue with their oppression and dishonesty, assuring them that this is the road to their success. Conversely, angels approach the devotees of truth and deliver the message, as mentioned in verses 30 to 32. "Do not fear nor grieve." The expression is of pervasive import, rich with a new message of comfort for believers and covering all stages of life ranging from the present world to the next. The angels' assuring statement to the believers that they are their companions in this world and the hereafter carries the message that they should not feel cowed down by the forces of falsehood, howsoever preponderant and oppressive those might be. Nor should they grieve over the hardships and losses they might suffer in the cause of truth, for they will soon be compensated with something far superior to all worldly goods. When these same words are said by the angels to believers on their deathbeds, they are meant to assure them that they should have no fear, for they are proceeding to a terminus where paradise awaits them. As for their dear ones whom they are leaving behind in this world, they should not feel grieved, for the angels are their guardians and companions. When the angels will utter these words in Barzakh and the grand assembly, it will signify that there is no reason for the believers to sorrow over the difficulties they faced in the course of their worldly life, nor to have any fear with regard to afterlife, for from now on only bliss will greet them. This because the angels themselves were giving the believers tidings of paradise.
نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ
We are your companions in this world and in the hereafter. There you shall have all that you desire and all what you will ask for.
نُزُلًا مِّنْ غَفُورٍ رَّحِيمٍ
This is by way of hospitality from Him who is most forgiving, most merciful.